This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
Hey, here's another fun topic. I say it facetiously.
Coming home to the Duggars.
Oh, my God. The things nightmares are made out of, the Duggars. A child allegedly hurt by someone who was supposed to be safe. She carried it for years before she told anyone. And now we're talking here weeks after the arrest. The man who allegedly did this is back home out on bond, living under restrictions. He can't possibly follow without someone watching, and nobody watching. The family is fractured. Some are calling it evil. Some are calling it persecution. And the people closest to the victim are reportedly starting over with nothing. The legal system hasn't even gotten started yet, but the choices people are making right now, who they're standing with, what they're saying, and what they're not, are already telling us everything. You guys have had a lot of opinions about this, and there's a lot of very interesting reporting going on out there. This is like the soap opera from hell. There's the news element of it, and then it gets into soap opera material, literally. And it's like I see a lot of it. This is going on around close to my ecosystem. So I'm trying to like not dive too deep into the soap opera, but it's hard not to sometimes. And I know you guys are having a lot of questions too. Joseph is home right now. He's bonded out. Bond conditions say no unsupervised contact with minors. He has four kids under eight. How does that work? Karen via Facebook. Well, he's not with their kids right now. The kids, and they're not with mom either. The kids right. are in protective custody, and the protective custody ain't family either, which I think to me, that says a lot. A lot of times when kids go into protective custody, they're going to look for family members. They're going to look for, oh, would this be a good, safe place to put them? That's not where they went. That's not where they went. And if my math is correct, there's 19 options as to where more as to where those kids could have went, but they went to somewhere else, somewhere within the system. What does that say to you about what's going on here with this case?
I think there's a lot of leakage where law enforcement has taken a close look at everything going on here. And so in Child Protective Services is obviously seeing it as well. So for some reason that they're seeing, they don't trust anyone in that family to have these kids. So that's a good sign for maybe they're inching their way towards justice. Maybe we'll see.
Maybe. Yeah.
And you know, what's a really shame is that we know that there are a few that escaped that seem to us, especially since we interviewed Amy and we read Jill's book, and mm-hmm. Amy's close to Jill too, that because I don't like children in the system just because we haven't seen good cases there either.
No.
So you really wish, and you know, and Amy said on our show that she would be more than happy to pitch in. She's offered as well. So I'm getting there's a lot of drama. There's a lot of, like you said, soap opera stuff going on. I like that that they're not still in the toxic system. But at the same time, though, they can't be feeling too good. Those are four little babies that just are really hugely confused right now and probably scared, too, because they've been thrown into thinking one thing about the system they live in. And now, because we saw this in all the specials we watched, whether it's FLDS or IBLP, that they are so indoctrinated that anything outside of that system that doesn't exactly operate the way, you know, Grandpa Jim Bob told them, it's evil, it's horrible, I'm falling outside the umbrella. So there's got to be a lot of fear in their hearts as well.
I'm not pro let's throw them to the system either. If there's a good family member that can take care, that's usually your best option. But I think it's interesting if this is in fact how it's all playing out. Again, conjecture, our opinion, in my opinion, allegedly to everything we're talking about. But it's very interesting that seems to be the dynamic, again, if that's accurate, as to where it's all playing out right now. I mean, it seems to say quite a bit. Here's another one. It says he allegedly confessed on a call. Apparently, he had no idea he was being recorded twice, basically. And then his lawyer turns around and they plead not guilty. Does that not guilty plea have any real shot, or is it just about buying time? Good question for Bob.
Yeah.
I don't know where it leads. I mean, it seems most people do plead not guilty initially, and it usually ends up going to some sort of a plea deal of some sort, rather than just straight to guilty. It's another, you know, it's a situation where words don't mean what they mean in some cases, especially in the legal system, you know, or it's just utterly delusional. And he believes under his way of thinking and reasoning in his mind that he's not guilty of these crimes for whatever reason. He's been absolved of them by God, or I don't know. I don't know what the hell is going on up there to say not guilty when you've allegedly already admitted to this, other than this is just to run the clock down a bit while we work on the deal over here on the side.
It's really interesting. And what popped in my mind as we started talking about this just now, Tony, is Jim Bob's letter to Joe behind bars. Yeah. And it was very, very pragmatic and very law-like. Like, he was very saying, hey, bad things are happening. Again, he was diminishing the words and of the accusation and everything. But it's very much, hey, here's the law. You're going to be going away for a long time, most likely. So you can see that they're accepting of what the fate will be legally, but from everything we've seen, studied, and watched for this family for so long now, that doesn't seem to matter nearly as much to them as their faith and their IBLP methodology with, hey, we're all going to do bad things. We're not going to stir up the brethren. All you have to do to be redeemed is to admit your sin. You'll be redeemed because that's the most important thing, and now you can have a ministry. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Ministry is more important because that's the way you get into heaven. The only way you get into heaven is to be redeemed, have a ministry, and have lots of kids. This legal stuff doesn't mean anything because you can do any, in their mindset, from what we understand from studying IBLP, you can literally do anything. If you seek forgiveness, it has to be given. If you're seeking forgiveness and you have to be redeemed, and that's all you got to do, and have kids, and you're going to heaven, which they think is a lot more important than going to jail.
And I think an important, interesting distinction there too is the forgiveness. It doesn't have to come from your victims. It just has to come from God.
No. The victims mean nothing.
Nothing. They're not even the damn equation.
Children it's like, are quivers.
As long as you go and speak to Sky Daddy, and Sky Daddy tells you specifically you're forgiven, or you just, this is what the form says. It says, I mean, if you ask for forgiveness, you will be forgiven if you believe.
And besides, forgiven by the victims. Well, the victims are shamed into forgiving them because in order to keep under the umbrella, you have to show forgiveness.
Then they're in the wrong under
you,
the
you
idea.
You see how stupidly cyclical this is? You have to forgive heinous acts by anyone or you're going to fall outside the umbrella and not go to heaven and burn in hell. That's a belief system. That belief system is self-fulfilling prophecy of creating narcissistic S-freaks towards children.
Exactly. 1,000%. I just did a piece this morning, and I was addressing Joseph directly in it because some of those jail phone calls, which are horrific to listen to, they're just so delusional in their nature.
Towards Kendra. I mean, all you do is listen to that poor girl being basically tortured, and she has no idea she's being tortured.
No, yeah, it's yeah. I mean, it's painful. She's like, I'm getting an IV. I'm not eating. I can barely walk. And like, I'm reading Ruth about how I'm redeemed.
You need to read more Psalms.
Yeah, hey, read some Psalms.
Do you know the transfusion today? Yeah, who cares? Suck it up. Read more Psalms.
Insane.
You'll feel better.
It's spousal abuse, in my opinion, really just on like as blatant as you can get.
Actually, you want to watch Trauma Bonding Live? Listen to it. She's talking about how horrendous she is, and at the very end, she goes, "Do you love me?" "Well, yes, I do." "Oh, thank you for loving me." There it is. There's the one bomb and trauma, 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 little bomb.
Yeah, because that was a big tell on that, where at the end she's like, she's asking if he loves her.
He abused children. And she's asking if he loves her.
You know, and this is why, you know, I said on the piece this morning that'll be dropping here tomorrow. Sometimes you got to fight fire with fire. And since he's speaking all biblically, I spoke all biblically right back at him. And I'm going with the Matthew chapter about putting the millstone around the child, the predator's neck, and dropping him in the sea. He skipped that part. He went right to Ruth and went right to the redemption, not the part of Jesus talking about, let's put the millstone and kick you off the boat. I like that one better. I think it's more applicable. It's actionable. It seems like it could be effective. It would solve a lot of problems. I say, let's go get a boat this weekend. Everybody can go out in it, you know, have a couple beverages and There you go, Millstone. See you later, Joe.
I'm giving a lot of credit to Amy Duggar King on her book Holy Disruptor. On this one, she starts out the entire book on the first chapter countering all of Jim Bob's and IBLP's doctrine with other citations from the Bible that totally debunk everything that they stand for. So
she did a great job at that. Yeah,
she really did.
Yeah. Yeah, highly recommend. And if you've not seen our interview with Amy, that conversation, it is up here on our channels. Go and check it out. There's more to come, very likely, by the way, too.
Yeah, she's great.
So it should be, my God. All right, your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love to hear them. We'll try and get to them. I'll try and answer them online or in a future episode of the program here. Love for you guys to weigh in. Press subscribe wherever you're getting podcasts so you don't miss any episodes. Robin's latest book, It's Not All About Me. There you go. It's worth reading. Joseph, this would be a good one for you, while you're on house arrest, while you're sitting there. And looking for something to do. Until next time, for Todd, for Robin, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.